Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 7th, 2019. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us another opportunity to continue our study of your word. We're grateful for all that you do for us, and today as we come, we ask that you would continue to fill us with truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've reached the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the earth. And I will feed them in the good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall they fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Then as for you, O my flock, saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall be no more a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. there shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bonds of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Notice how God here rebukes the shepherds who take advantage of the flock. What a serious, serious rebuke, a serious warning. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 342 and paragraph 1, says this: By their fruit ye shall know them. Christ has not been revealed in your deportment towards some who were much nearer the kingdom of heaven than yourselves. The Lord has opened before you your wrong toward his children, your want of mercy and love, your determination to control minds and make them see things just as you see them. And when light came to you, what course did you take? Did you merely admit that you were wrong, or did you heartily confess your error and humble your proud hearts before God? Did you cast aside your ways and accept God's teaching? Did you go to the very ones you had bruised and wounded and say, I have been wronged, I have sinned against you, forgive me, I have failed, I have worked in my own spirit, I had a zeal but not according to knowledge? It was the spirit of Jehu rather than the meekness and lowliness of Christ. The word of God directs, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Will you pray for me that God will forgive me for the distress and anguish I have caused you? If you have engaged in this work of bruising and condemning, have not heartily repented, then light, peace, and joy will not come into your souls. When you are careful, kind, and tender to your brother in the same degree that you have been hard, unforgiving, and oppressive, you will confess your faults and make restitution as far as possible. And when you have done all on your part, you may ask the Lord to do that which is impossible for you to do. Heal the wounds you have made, forgive you, and blot out your transgression. When there is so great reluctance to confess a wrong which is laid open and plain before the erring, it shows that you are controlled by their own untamable, unsanctified natures rather than by the spirit of the gospel of Christ. If God had ever spoken to by me, you have most earnest work to do in zealous repentance, for showing to the erring the satanic element in your character, not in coldness and indifference merely, but in neglect and contempt. If they are indeed in darkness and doing things that imperil their souls, you should manifest the greater interest in them. Show them that while you will be true to principle and will not swerve from the right, you love their souls. Let them know, by your words and your actions, that you have not a spirit of revenge and retaliation, but that for their sakes you will sacrifice feeling and subdue self. Represent Christ, our pattern. Manifest his spirit at all times and under all circumstances. And let that mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Your ways have not been God's ways. Your will has not been God's will. The precious plant of love has not been cultivated and watered by the dews of grace. Self-love, self-righteousness, self-complacency have exerted a controlling power. What has Jesus done for you? And what is he continually doing for us individually? What have you that you have not received? Said Christ, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The branches do not sustain the vine, but the vine supports and nourishes the branches. The church does not support Christ, but Christ, by his vital power, supports the church. It is not enough to be a branch. We are to be fruitful branches. He that abideth in me, said Jesus, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But if the fruit produced be that of the thorn bush, it is evident that we are not branches of the living vine. Life is disciplinary. While in the world, the Christian will meet with adverse influences. There will be provocations to test the temper. And it is by meeting these in the right spirit that the Christian graces are developed. If injuries and insults are meekly borne, if insulting words are responded to by gentle answers and oppressive acts of kindness, this is evidence that the Spirit of Christ dwells in the heart. That sap from the living vine is flowing to the branches. We are in the school of Christ in this life, where we are to learn to be meek and lowly of heart. And in the day of final accounts, we shall see that all the obstacles we meet, all the hardships and annoyances that we are called to bear, are practical lessons in the application of principles of Christian life. If well endured, they develop the Christ-likeness in the character and distinguish the Christian from the worldling. There's a high standard to which we are to attain if we would be children of God, noble, pure, holy, and undefiled. And a pruning process is necessary if we would reach this standard. How would this pruning be accomplished if there were no difficulties to meet, no obstacles to surmount, nothing to call out patience and endurance? These trials are not the smallest blessings in our experience. They are designed to nerve us to determination to succeed. We are to use them as God's means to gain decided victories over self instead of allowing them to hinder, oppress, and destroy us. Character will be tested. Christ will be revealed in us if we are indeed branches of the living vine. We shall be patient, kind, and forbearing, cheerful amid frets and irritations. Day by day and year by year, we shall conquer self and grow into a noble heroism. This is an allotted task, but we cannot be accomplished without continued help from Jesus, resolute decision, unwavering purpose, continual watchfulness, and unceasing prayer. Each one has a personal battle to fight. Each must win his own way through struggles and discouragements. Those who decline the struggle lose the strength and joy of victory. No one, not even God, can carry us to heaven unless we make the necessary effort on our part. We must put features of beauty into our lives. We must expel the unlovely natural traits that make us unlike Jesus. While God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, we must work in harmony with him. The religion of Christ transforms the heart. It makes the worldly-minded man heavenly-minded. Under its influence, the selfish man becomes unselfish, because this is the character of Christ. The dishonest, scheming man becomes upright, so that it is second nature to him to do unto others as he would have others do unto him. The profligate is changed from impurity to purity. He forms correct habits, for the gospel of Christ has become to him a savor of life unto life. Now, while probation lingers, it does not become one to pronounce sentence upon others and to look to himself as a model man. Christ is our model. Imitate him. Plant your feet in his steps. You may professedly believe every point of present truth, but unless you practice these truths, it will avail you nothing. We are not to condemn others. This is not our work, but we should love one another and pray for one another. When we see one err from the truth, then we may weep over him as Christ wept over Jerusalem. Let us see what our Heavenly Father in his word says about the erring. Quote, "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." What a great missionary work is this! How much more Christ-like than for poor, fallible mortals to be ever accusing and condemning those who do not exactly meet their minds. Let us remember that Jesus knows us individually and is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows the wants of each of his creatures and reads the hidden, unspoken grief of every heart. If one of the little ones for whom he died is injured, he sees it and calls the offender to account. Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for a feeble, sickly, wandering sheep. He knows them all by name. The distress of every sheep and every lamb of his flock touches his heart with sympathizing love, and the cry for aid reaches his ears. One of the greatest sins of the shepherds of Israel is thus pointed out by the prophet. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Jesus cares for each one as though there were not another individual on the face of the earth. As deity, he exerts mighty power in our behalf, while as our elder brother, he feels for all our woes. The majesty of heaven held not himself aloof from degraded sinful humanity. We have not a high priest who is so high, so lifted up, that he cannot notice us or sympathize with us, but one who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. How different from this spirit is the feeling of indifference and contempt that has been manifested by some in the church today, and those who have been affected by their influence. If ever the transforming grace of God was needed, it is needed in this church. In judging and condemning the brothers and sisters, they have undertaken to do a work that God never put into their hands, a hardness of heart, a censorious, condemnatory spirit that would destroy individuality and independence, has been woven into their Christian experience, and they have lost the love of Jesus out of their hearts. Make haste, brethren, to get these things off your soul before it shall be said in heaven, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. You will have many perplexities to meet in your Christian life in connection with the church, but do not try too hard to mold your brethren. If you see that they do not meet the requirements of God's word, do not condemn. If they're provoked, do not retaliate. When things are said that would exasperate, quietly keep your soul from fretting. You see many things which appear wrong in others, and you want to correct these wrongs. You commence in your own strength to work for a reform, but you do not go about it in the right way. You must labor for the erring with a heart subdued, softened by the Spirit of God, and let the Lord work through you, the agent. Roll your burden on Jesus. You feel that the Lord must take up the case where Satan is striving for the mastery over some soul. But you are to do what you can in humility and meekness, and put the tangled work, the complicated matters, into the hands of God. Follow the directions in his word, and leave the outcome of the matter to his wisdom. Having done all that you can to save your brother, cease worrying and go calmly about other pressing duties. It is no longer your matter, but God's. Do not through impatience cut the knot of difficulty, making matters hopeless. Let God untangle the snarled up threads for you. He is wise enough to manage the complications of your lives. He has skill and tact. We cannot always see his plans. We must wait patiently their unfolding and not mar and destroy them. He will reveal them to us in his own good time. So seek for unity, cultivate love and conformity to Christ in all things. He is the source of unity and strength. And you have not sought for Christian unity that you might knit hearts together in love. So there is a work for you to do in the church, and out of the church. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. The fruit we bear is the only test of the character of the tree before the world. This is the proof of our discipleship. If our works are of such a character that as branches of the living vine we bear rich clusters of precious fruit, then we wear before the Lord a badge as his sons and daughters. We are living epistles, known and read of all men. Dear Heavenly Father, today I know that you are calling us. First, a call of rebuke concerning the work that we have not done, or the work that we have pretended to do. We are sorry that we did not fulfill our responsibilities, where those in need of your word and an example were concerned. We ask today, after we have come with a repentant spirit, that you would forgive us and restore us to that work which you had called us in the first place, so that we might indeed be an example to those who are around us, that we might seriously consider that which you have given us to do, so that we might walk according to your will, and that others, because of the example we have set, might be drawn closer to your kingdom. We thank you in advance for all that you will do for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 7th, 2019.